Now we're holding on your Aleph, Amud Aleph, by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Ra isin rotin acha metziah. Suppose a person sees people in his field running after a metziah. So they see a metziah in his field, and they're running in his field to get it. For example, acha tzvi shovel. For example, they see a deer with broken legs. So it's not going to be able to run out of the field before they get to it. Or they see young birds that have not yet started flying, so again, they're going to be able to get them. The Omar and the Omar and the owner of the field, the Omar and the owner of the field says, Zoch sabi sabi, my field is zoicha for me. Now the point is that therefore, because the deer has a broken leg, or because the birds can't fly yet, or whatever, the metziah, then therefore it's mishtamer, the seicha sadeh, will be preserved in the field if people don't take it. So now if he says, zoch sabi sabi, my field was zoicha for me, then the din is zoch saloi, the field is in fact zoicha for him, and he's the one who gets the metziah, not the people who are running after it. Tosfos actually says it doesn't necessarily mean that he has to say Zoch Sali, because as long as he's there, as we're going to see in the Gemara, as long as he's near the field, so that it's Mishtameres, then that would be enough. So he doesn't have to actually say Zoch Sali. On the other hand, the Rambam and a number of Rishonim and say that no, Zoch Sali means he actually has to say Zoch Sali, and if not, then he's not Zoche in it. The Ran gives a reason, because what makes it, as we're going to say in the Gemara, he has to be standing b'tzad chatzeroi, by the side of his chotzer, by the side of his field or whatever. If he doesn't say zoch sali, then it means he's not actually trying to be zoche in it. When he says zoch sali, means he's also going to make an effort to actually get the thing. So therefore, that's why it has to be that he would actually say zoch sali. The Shittim Kovetzes brings another point as well from Maharia Vuhav that it may be true that he doesn't usually have to say that I need to be Zoicha, but over here the fact is he sees other people running after it, so he has to say Zoch Sali Sadi. So again, according to Tosfos then, it doesn't matter, but according to many other Rishonim, it does matter, and they provide reasons for why that should be. Anyway, continues the Mishnah. On the other hand, if the deer is running normally, and realistically they're not going to get it before they're not going to be able to catch up to it, or the birds are flying, and he says, my field was zoicha, and then what he said doesn't count for anything, so therefore he's not unless he actually grabs it and makes a kinyan on it. Just kinyan chotzer or kinyan soda is not going to be enough, because that only works when it's going to stay in the field or the chotzer, and here it's not going to. So the Gemara starts off, Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, V'hu sh'omid b'tzad sadeh. When we say that he's koneh, if he says zoch sali sadi, or okay, according to Tosfos, he doesn't have to actually say the word zoch sali sadi, means only if he's standing by the side of his field. There is a machloikas rishonim, whether it means, does it mean that it's good enough if he's standing outside the field, but next to it, so says the Ritva. On the other hand, the Magid Mishnah and Rambam brings that it means he has to be standing inside the field, so betzad would mean on the side of the field, on the inside of it, because only then is it a chotzer mishtameres. Well, the Gemara asks, v'tiknu le sadehu. So the Gemara asks, v'tikni le sadehu. In that case, why isn't his field kona without him standing next to it? And the Omer of Yosi bar Chanina, after all, doesn't Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina say chatzeder shel adam kona lo shaloi midaitoi, that a person's chotzer is kona for him even without his das? So why do we need? So Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel. So Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel v'husha omid b'tzad sadehu. Rabbi Yehuda had said in the name of Shmuel that only if he's standing next to his field. But based on what Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina is saying, chatzera sh'odim kona l'shalom midaito, that a person's chotzer is kona for him even without his das, so why does he need to be standing over there? And the answer is, hanimid v'chotzer ha-mishtameres, because that would apply only by a chotzer ha-mishtameres, only a chotzer, a field, or whatever, which is mishtameres, meaning that there's a fence around it, and people are not going to be able to go in and get anything they want from it. And in addition, we're saying that in the Mishnah, that the animal itself is not going to be able to get out of there that fast. Av a chotzer meshein meshtameres, but if it's not a chotzer meshtameres, e omer tzad sadehu ein. If he's standing next to his field, then yes, that makes it a chotzer meshtameres. And the Rosh makes a different point, actually, that it makes it an effect that now the chotzer is now that we learned yesterday, we talked about the idea whether a chotzer is mishum yad or mishum shlichus. So here. So a person wouldn't want his objects to be held onto by a shliach who's not going to take care of them. So now we require him to be standing over there. That makes it now like his yad, and it also makes it like his shliach, and therefore we're good. So if he's standing there, yes, eloi loy, but if not, then not, then we don't have a valid king. So that's why. So either it has to be fenced in, or if it's not fenced in, then he needs to be standing next to it in order for Kenyan Chotzer to work. Tosfos goes on to discuss this a little bit about certain ins and outs of this as they apply. For example, we had something in Bava Kamma about a case where a ger had a mashkin, where there was a mashkin, a Yisrael was holding on to a mashkin that a ger had given him, and then the ger died. So we said over there that actually somebody else is able to take the mashkin. And over there it was in his house, so wouldn't it be a chotzer mishtameres? So you have over there, Tosfos ends up saying, we're talking about, let's say that it was, in fact, that it wasn't in the chotzer at all, and therefore it wouldn't be kinyan chotzer, and therefore we have other kinds of kinyanim. The point is that Tosfos goes on to say that, when you have, for example, by a get, which a woman receives by a kofa, then she actually has to be standing there, even if it's a chotzer mishtameres. But where here we're talking about to be koina, a metzia or whatever, so there it's not by a kofa, obviously. So there you don't need him to be omen b'tzad sadehu or omen b'tzad besoy, unless the chotzer or the field doesn't have a fence around it. So the Gemara says, "When not tamra the chotzer she'en mishtameres, the omen b'tzad sadehu ein iloy loy." Where do you get that distinction? That when it's a chotzer she'en mishtameres, when it's an unfenced field or chotzer, if he's standing there, then yes, he's koina, and if not, then he's not, because that's what we're saying. First, Rav Yehuda had said that the din of our Mishnah applies only if he's standing next to his field, and then. On the other hand, we had Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina saying, Chatzeda Shalom, Kodin Lo Shalom Yidaito. So why do we need to say specifically, why does Rabbi Yehuda need to tell us in the name of Shmuel that the din of our Mishnah is only when he's standing there? Why didn't they take it more straightforwardly and say, regardless, that even if he's not standing there, but he sees from a distance what's going on, and he says, Zoxali Sadi, then it's field. Should be Zoicha for him on the basis of what Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina says. Where is Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel getting the distinction whether Oymi Batsad So like this, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Now we learned yesterday, we talked about the concept of Shikha, where the Torah tells us that if you forget some grain in the field unharvested, or if you forget a bundle of grain in the field after you harvested and bundled it, either way, if you forget one of those things, it's called Shikha, and you have to leave it for the poor people. So now a Braisa says, suppose that the owner of the field is standing in the city, the Omer, and he says, I know that there's a bundle in the field that the workers have forgotten. Now you have here again, just like in the Mishnah where we said that you have a machlokas whether he actually has to say it or not. So here also you have Rishonim who say that it would not be enough for him to say, I know that they're forgetting, the Ramban, the Ritva, add that he would also have to say something like it should not be Shikha, otherwise it still remains Shikha. On the other hand, the Radvaz disagrees with that and says he doesn't need to say anything. Anyway, the point is, so he says there's a bundle which I know that the workers have forgotten. Now there can be, Rashi explained, we're not just talking about that he generically says, I know they're forgetting something, otherwise the whole concept of shikha wouldn't apply. Rather, what it means is, for example, he says, I know, let's say there's a particular bundle that I put in a certain corner or something, And I figured that the workers have, and I figured the workers are going to get it, but I'm sure that they ended up forgetting it. So therefore, he's not talking generically about all the bundles in the field. He's talking about one bundle that he put in a certain place. There are other explanations. The Ravid brings a different explanation that it means, for example, he knew there were 100 bundles, let's say, and he sees the workers bring him 99, so he realizes they obviously forgot. Anyway, so he says, lo yehei shikha, so he says it should not be shikha. So again, according to the Ramban and the Ritva, he actually has to say those words according to the Radvaz, not necessarily. But anyway, yochol lo yehei shikha, you would think that works and it doesn't become shikha. So Talmud Loimar, no, therefore the Pasuk says, the Pasuk says, if you forget a sheaf, if you forget a bundle of grain in a field, implying basada v'shachachta v'loy ba'ir, so it only applies when you forget it in the city. Since it says basada, so it only applies if you forget it when you're in the field, not when you're in the city. So if you want to ask, so first we have to see how we're going to see, so first we have to understand the b'raisa, then we're going to see the difference between a chotzer, a mishtameres, and not. So hog gufa kasha. We seem to be having a contradiction within the b'raisa itself. Amrit yochol lo yehei shikha. First you're saying you would think it's not shikha. Alma have shikha, which implies that even though he says, I know for a fact the workers have forgotten this bundle, whether according to Rashi again because he put it in a certain place and he realizes that the workers almost certainly are going to forget it, or according to the Ravid because let's say they actually brought him all the bundles minus one, he realizes therefore one is missing. So we're saying, yochol lo yehei shikha, you would think that it's not shikha, alma have a shikha, implying, but in fact it is in fact shikha. V'nosiv lo gemara, but then the gemara, meaning then the braisa continues. The word gemara over here and in many places in Shas, the word gemara was actually changed by the censors. The original word would have been Talmudah, but at some point the Goyish rulers and the censors who operated under them decided they didn't like the word Talmud, so they changed it in many places. So this would be an example. It really means to say v'nosiv lo Talmudah, meaning that then it's going to learn out from the pasuk Talmudah, like Talmud Loimar, because it says basod v'shachachta v'loy be'ir, that only if you forget it in the field is it shikha, not if you forget it in the city, amaloy habishikha, which implies that it's not shikha. So what is the braisa saying? If the person is standing in the city and saying that and mentioning this particular bundle, is it shikha or not? From the first half of the braisa, it seems that it is, nevertheless, and from the second half, it seems that it's not, because the dinim of shikha apply only in the field. Ela lav hachi kamar. Evidently, what does the braisa mean? It means basoda shachuach meikre habashikha. The distinction would be if he's standing in the field, then it's only the balabas, that is, only when he's standing in the field, only when it was forgotten to begin with, is it shikha. But if he remembers it, if he knows he put it there midaito, and later on the workers forgot it, then it would not be shikha. So Tosfos teaches it. So Rashi explains that it means, in other words, when he's standing in the field. So to begin with, he had forgotten it. And the workers had also forgotten it. That would be shikha. But if he remembers, if he first placed the bundle in a certain place midaito, and then afterwards the workers forgot it, then the braisa will be saying it's not shikha. Tosfos teaches out a little more detail. It means that at the time when the process, what let's consider the process of shikha. You harvest, for example, here we're talking about a bundle of grain. Now it is true that shikha also applies to standing grain that hasn't been harvested yet, but let's leave that aside for the moment. It's easier to understand in the case of a bundle of grain. They harvest the grain and they tie it into a bundle. Obviously there the shikha process has not started yet because they're working with it. Now there comes a point where the workers forget it. At that point, the shikha process has not started yet. When the workers first forget it, we can say the shikha process has begun at that point. Now, if he also forgets it at the same time, that would be what the Gemara is calling shachuach me'ikra, that to begin with, from when shikha could start applying to it, then everybody had forgotten about it, including he. But, But if he remembers it at the time, after the work was forgot, and later on he himself forgot it, that's what the Gemara is calling Zochel of a Soap Shachuach, and saying it wouldn't be Shichcha then. Tosfos points out, it can't be the other way around. The fact that when the workers remember it, he also remembers it, then you're never going to have Shichcha. So at any time his field is full of bundles of grain, he's going to say, Yizka B'Sadi, and it's going to work. So and that would take away the whole concept of Shichcha. So therefore, that's how Tosfos explains this distinction of Zochel of a Soap Shachuach. So when the workers forgot it, he still remembered it. Later on, he forgot that also, but that's enough, therefore, that it's not considered Shikha anymore. So the Braisa is saying, therefore, that when he's in the field, then there's that distinction of Shachuach Me'ikroi versus Zochel of a Soap Shachuach, because there's a difference. He's standing in the field, and in the field is where the whole concept of Shikha applies. So therefore we would have to draw that distinction between whether he's the only one who remembers it, or whether he forgot it to begin with as well. My timer, why is that given to Kori Gaba? Because since he's standing over there, Havilei Chatzer, then therefore it's his Chatzer, because now, as we said before, as Rabbi Yehuda had said in the name of Shmuel, he's standing by the Chatzer, and therefore Vizach Soleil, therefore the Chatzer, in this case the field, is Zotha for him. Avol Be'ir, but the implication is, if he's in the city, Afilu Zohar of a Soif Shechuach, even if he remembered it when all the workers had forgotten it, and later on he forgot it as well, Hav Yashikha, nevertheless, the Braisa is still saying it would be Shikha. My timer, the lesser gabe the liskele, because he's not there in order to be zoicha in it, and therefore, so we see from that braisa, once we understand the braisa this way, then it comes out there is that distinction between a chotzer and a shtameras and not. So there we have the distinction. If he's omer b'tzad chatzer, right? Even though now the chatzer is a field over here, a field is not usually mishtameras, it's usually open and people can go in and out of it. And nevertheless, we're saying that, and therefore we're saying only if he's standing over there, only then is he zoicha in whatever's in the field. But the Gemara says, mimai, who says that that's the correct understanding of the braisa? Maybe it's all it is. After all, the Braisa is bringing a pasuk for shachach to omer basada, that the whole concept of shikha applies only in the field. So therefore, duma gzeres hakosuvi, the basada have never shikha, or beir lo never shikha. So it's just gzeres hakosuv in the field. It's such a thing should be considered shikha, but if he's standing in the city, then it won't be shikha. Meaning, in other words, that in the first part of the Braisa, instead of having the words yochel loy, we said loya he shikha, so in the braisa where it says yochel loya he shikha, we should instead be goris in the braisa, we should instead be goris yochel yehe shikha. You would think that it's shikha, and the pasuk is saying that no, and therefore it brings the pasuk that says that no, shikha applies only when you're in the field. So that being the case, then the braisa wouldn't be any proof for what we're saying. Now that's according to Rashi. Tosfos says, I mean, it's one thing, sometimes we do change the word in the Braisas, but that's when we have an actual question against what it says in the Braisa or something. Here we're talking about, we're trying to say, maybe we don't have a proof from the Braisa. Is that a reason to change the wording of the Braisa in order to remove the potential proof? You don't do that way. So rather, Tosfos explains that no, the Gemara is questioning the Braisa. Why are you saying that Shachach to Omer Basada, and you're learning from that there's a difference between the field and the city, is a difference between Shachuach Me'ikra, where it was originally forgotten by everyone, versus Zohar L'Vasov Shachuach, and you're telling me that the distinction is between field and city, maybe it's just Gzeres HaKosu, or you're going to tell me that that if it is in the city, there are cases where it would be shikha. Maybe it's just gzeres hakosuv that in the field always it's going to be that in the field it's always going to be shikha, but in the city that not. Rather than saying that the case of the city is referring only to certain cases, depending whether he forgot it to begin with or whether they forgot it. So the answer is amakra lois soshuv l'kachtoi. The reason is because the pasuk continues when it talks about shikha, don't return to take it. L'rabas shikha seir. So therefore, that comes to include something that was shikha even when he was in the field, because lo sasho, don't return to the field to take it. So according to Rashi, therefore, the vote would be that that shows that in fact we have to change the wording of the braisa to say that you would think that if he's in the city, yocho yehei shikha, you would think that it is shikha, and therefore you have the pasuk. So we're saying that even in the field there is there is the possibility of shikha again because he's not standing by his field and therefore it's not a chotzer m'shamenes. And again, according to Tosfos, the vote would be that's how we reconcile the braisa itself by saying that the braisa we see from the pasuk lo sasho v'kachdoi that there is such a thing as shikha even when he's in the city. So the Gemara asks, tiny boyle lalav. What do you mean? Those words, lo sasho v'kachdoi, are needed just legufo to teach us that if a person does go and take the shikha, then he's over on a lav. So you don't have it available to teach us this drosha as well about field versus city. The answer is, yinkein nemakro lo sitochen. If that were the case, then the Torah could have just said, instead of saying lo sasho v'kachdoi, it could have just said, lo sitochenu, don't take it. And that would constitute a lav. My lo sasho, when it says don't return, we can say the rabbis shikha se'ir, that it does in fact come to include shikha where he was in the city and forgot it. And again, why would it be that when he's in the city, it would be considered shikha? In some cases, because even though it's zohol of a soif shachuach, even though he remembers it at the beginning, because he's not there in order for his field to be kohen. Showing, after all, that yes, there is a distinction, only if he's by the field, only then do we say that that we can talk about that his chotzer or his field is koina for him because not a chotzer mishamets. All right, the Gemara asks about katmi boiler lechiditnan. Still, we need the words lois soshav lekachdoi to teach us a din that it says in a Mishnah in Masechta Peya. You have a din over there. The Mishnah says over there shalafonav ein shikha shalachrov yes shikha. When it comes to something in front of him, then it's not shikha. When we're talking about something behind him, then there is. So Rashi explains, it's very simple. We're talking about, in other words, a person is going and harvesting from the beginning of a row in the field. He forgets some of the grain before him and in front of him and behind him. So whatever's behind him would be shikha, because then he would have to return back to get at that. And the pasuk is saying, lo sasho. Whatever's in front of him, even though right now he doesn't remember it, would not be shikha because he doesn't have to go back for it. Shahu b'val toshu, because whatever's behind him involves bal toshu, involves the isur of not returning to take it. Zehakval, and the Mishnah continues, here's the general rule. Kol shahu b'val toshu shikha, whenever there's bal toshu, whenever there would be, and whenever it would involve turning back to get it, then it's considered shikha, and he's over if he does in fact go back to get it. And anything that there's no returning because in front of him is not considered shikha. Now Tosfos points out the word zahaklal can also include keren zovis. So for example, if you have, let's say it's in a corner, but it's still ahead of him and he doesn't have to turn back to get it, he just has to turn to the side, then that wouldn't be considered shikha. A number of Mephoshim explain, actually, that the case of the Mishnah is talking not so much like Rashi says that you're talking about where he's harvesting and there's still grain in front of him that he hasn't gotten to yet, because that would be more poshut. Rather, they talk about like this. Earlier in the Mishnah, and so the Rambam explains it this way, the Tosfos Yom Tov explains it this way. You're talking about, let's say, for example, so imagine you have a field of, let's say, that has 10 rows of grain. So now, suppose a guy is going and harvesting the grain along the first row. He gets through 9/10 of the row, and then he stops. At that point, do we consider that the 10th one is shikha when he turns to the next row? Well, it really depends. What does he do in the next row? Does he leave the one directly below the one he left? So let's say, for example, imagine like we had like a battleship board or something with the rows labeled A through J and the columns labeled 1 through 10. So suppose, for example, he went and started harvesting A1 through A9 and left A10. Is A10 shikha? It's going to depend. When he goes down to the next row, does he go from B9 down to B1, or the other direction, B1 to B9, doesn't really matter, and leave B10? If yes, then A10 is not shikha because B10 demonstrates that what it means is when he gets to column number 10, instead of harvesting that one together with the rest of the row, he's going to do a column. He's going to end off by going straight down column 10 and harvesting everything over there. Therefore, it's not shikha because there's no going back because he's showing that he plans to do that one in a different direction. On the other hand, if he were to harvest B10, then and leave A10 sitting by itself in the corner over there, then that would show that he forgot it, and then that would be shikha. So a number of Mephoshim explain that the Mishnah is talking about that specific example, as opposed to, again, Rashi, who just says that we're talking about that he's going along row A, and he forgets something, and we're talking about what's before him or what's behind him. Anyway, the point is, we learn all that concept from the word lois sasha v'kafto. So that being the case, then, you're using it for that drasha. How can you also use it for the drasha about being in the city versus in the field? The answer is, Omar Avashi, Omar Kur, Yia, Lurabis Shikha Seir. The answer is, because the Pasuk says, La Gerla Yosem Vala Amona Yia, and the word Yia is extra, so therefore that comes to include the Shikha of the city. Namely, when Zohol was so Shachurach, like we said before, that at first he remembered it while the workers had forgotten, and then later on he forgot it as well, that wouldn't, so then, then we would say, even in that case, it is shikha. So therefore, in short, we can learn everything from this half of the pasuk, lois soshav v'kachta, nager v'yosim l'amon yia, from the fact that it says lois soshav means there's a lois essay involved, or from the fact that it just says loi means there's a lois essay involved, where at that point it could have said lois ikochenu, don't take it. Instead, it says lois soshav v'kachta, don't return to take it. So from that, we learn this matter of the rows and columns, like we were talking about. And then, the matter of just that he's going down a row and forgets some in front of him and some behind him. And then, because it says, lager la yosem l'amon yia, and it has that extra word yia, we learn from that also sometimes shikha is considered, sometimes it's shikha, even when he's in the city, when there was zohor v'soif shachua. And why would that be? Again, because we would say that when he's in the city, he's not near the field, therefore it's not a chotzer ha-mishtameres, as opposed to if he was by the field and zohor v'soif shachua, then that would be effective because at the time when he's zohor, at the time when he still remembers it, even though the workers have already forgotten it, and therefore the shikha process has started, at that point he can say zoch sali sadi, and he gets to keep it even though later on he forgets it. Okay, so that's where we get the distinction between whether he's by the field or not. And again, the assumption is the field over here is obviously a chotzer she'ena mishtameres because it's an open field. It's not your fence. A field is not usually fenced in. And therefore, this is how it works. And the Gemara says, V'chein ama ola, v'husha omir tzad sadehu, wasn't just Rabbi Yehuda saying in the name of Shmuel that the case of our Mishnah is talking about where he's standing next to the field. Ola says the same thing. Ula says the same thing. And Rabbi Baba Chana says the same thing. So there are a number of Amiroyim who all independently explain the same way. Of course, it doesn't have to be independent. Could be that they all ultimately learned it from Rebbe himself, who when he finalized the Mishnah or whatever. That's the case of our Mishnah where we're saying that he sees people running in his field after a Metzia or whatever, and he says Zoch Sali Sadi would only work if he's standing Betzad Sadeh. We talked about before, you have a machlokas rishonim, whether it means standing next to the field or whether it requires that he's actually standing in them. Okay. However, Esrei Rav Abba la'Ula. Rav Abba pointed out a contradiction to Ula, where you see from the following braisa, from the following story, that you don't necessarily need to be oimed with sad sadehu in order to accomplish a king. A braisa says, Maisa b'Rav Gamliel v'skenim show you boim v'svina. It happened once that Rav Gamliel and some of the other Chachamim were traveling on a boat. Now, Rashi explains the problem is then Rav Gamliel realized that there was produce in his house from which he had not yet separated Truma and Maisa. So now he wanted to take Maisa as fast as possible wherever he is. Tosfos brings from Rashi, we learned this in Kiddushin as well, several months ago, Tosfos quotes from Rashi over there that he was concerned that people in his household might think he had already taken Truma and Maiser, and they were going to eat Tevel. Because after all, they would figure we can rely on the Chazaka that a Chover is not going to leave something undone. Chazaka or Chover, Shani Moitzim, Takas Yadu, Dover Shani Masukha. However, Tosfos asks on that, that would only be if he died. They can assume that before he died, and we're talking about Tosfos discussed over there from the Yerushalmi, that it means only if he died peacefully, and therefore he would have had time to arrange things before he died, or when he went on a long trip, and here there's no particular reason to assume that Rav Gamliel went on such a long trip. So also, why does he have to actually give them to Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva, as the Braise is going to go on to say? It would be enough that he just designates them where they are, and so forth. So Tosfos gives a different explanation here, as well as in Kiddushin, that we're talking about, no, it's not a matter of he hadn't taken Truma and Meisr previously, but now it comes the time of Bir Meisr. There comes a point, Pesach time of the fourth year and the seventh year of the Shemitah cycle, when you have to make sure that all the Truma and Meisr and Bikurim and so forth that you have in your possession have all been taken care of. And now it came that time, so therefore he has to actually give them away. And now we have to figure out how is he going to give them away when he's not physically present. So one way or the other, either it was that he hadn't taken Meisr yet, as Rashi says, or he had taken the Meisr, but now it's the time of Bir Meisris, and therefore he has to give them out, as Tosfos says. Anyway, Omar Rav Gamliel, so Rav Gamliel declares as follows, Isur Shani Osid Lamud, the one-tenth of the produce that I'm going to measure out to give to the Levi, Nosin the Yeshua, is given to Yeshua. Rav Yeshua, who was with him, was a Levi. Rashi refers to a Gemara in Erchin that says that one time Rabbi Yeshua still lived when the Beis Hamikdash was standing, and one time he, who was one of the Levim who used to sing in the Beis Hamikdash, he went to help out Rabbi Yochanan and Gudgada close one of the doors, and Rabbi Yochanan told him, don't do that, because a Levi is not allowed to do a different Levi's job in the Beis Hamikdash. So we see from that that Rabbi Yeshua was a Levi. So he's saying, I'm giving the Maaser Rishon to Rabbi Yeshua, who's a Levi. Tosfos, by the way, deals with also the question, why wasn't he taking Truma first? And the answer is because it was easy enough for him to deal with Truma. Midaraisa, it's enough to give one grain of wheat, and you pass through the whole thing from Truma, so he was able to easily arrange that before he went. The rest of the Maisers, which require actual measuring, that would take more time, and he didn't have the time to do that, which is why now he's doing it on the boat. And Tosfos gives another reason as well. By the time they had it piled up and then did miruach in Rav Gamliel's house, at that point he would have already taken truma. So it's only Maisa he needs to worry about. So he says that the one tenth that's Maisa Sheni goes to Rav Yeshua u'makoyme muskoloi, and the place where that grain or whatever it is located is rented out to him. In fact, Rashi brings from the continuation of the Braisa, which the Gemara is not quoting over here, that in fact Rabbi Yeshua paid him something for the rent. The point is, that way there should be Kinyan Chotzer. Then Rabbi Gamliel continues, the Isur Achal Shani also Lamud, another one-tenth that I'm going to measure out, Nosim La'Akiva Ben Yosef, is given to Akiva ben Yosef, where Rabbi Akiva was also with them on the boat, and Rabbi Akiva was the Gabbait Staka, so he was getting it on behalf of the Aniyim, because that year was one of the years of Maaser Ani, or Makom Muskoloi, and the spot where that grain is rented out to him. So we see that in both cases, Rabbi Gamliel was makne to them with Kinyan Chotzer. Tosfos, by the way, points out he couldn't just lend them the place or do kinyan chalifin or something, because you can't do those for rentals of property. You need actual money to change hands. So therefore they actually had to give him at least some nominal sum as the actual rental of the place. Now, so the question is, now, were Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva actually standing next to Rav Gamliel's field? So based on what we're saying, if you're telling me that only when it's a chotzer mishtameres, only that is a koina, then how are they able to be koina when it's not a chotzer mishtameres and they're not actually standing there? Now, Tosfos says, wait a minute, it was in Rav Gamliel's house. What's the problem? The house is a chotzer mishtameres. So Tosfos gives an answer because, after all, there's no division between their grain and Rav Gamliel's. So from the point of view of that, it's not mishtameres in the sense. Mishtameres would be that whatever is in there is guaranteed that it's going to be yours, and nobody else is going to, under normal circumstances, nobody else is going to come in there and take anything. But here, where their grain is mixed in with everybody else's, and just an Aron Gamliel had designated on their behalf, then it wouldn't work. It would be considered a chotzer she'ena mishtameres. There are different other Rishonim discuss this point and say that actually maybe Tosfos themselves say elsewhere that maybe in fact, first of all, Tosfos points out elsewhere. Another point is that Rav Gamliel's family, after all, they conceivably could take the Maaser. There's nothing preventing them. But actually, in addition, Rav Yaakov Emden discusses over here on the Gemara and says that actually, no, we're not talking about it was in Rav Gamliel's house to begin with. The grain was in his field rather than in his house. And therefore, when he explains, we have proofs for that in various ways as well. And therefore, really would be a chotzer she'ena mishtameres. Okay, so that's the question then. So if you're telling me that you need to be standing there by a chotzer she'ena mishtameres for it to be koina, well, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva are not standing over there. So how is this working then? Amale, so Ula answers, Domi haim rabbanon kedoloi gamri inshi shmaita. This one of the rabbis, meaning you, Rabbi Abba, are acting as though you never learned the sugya. So he didn't explain why it's not a question. As now, Rav Abba is eventually going to get an explanation from other chachamim why it's not a question. But Ullo himself didn't even bother answering the question because he figured it's not even a question at all. But Rav Abba didn't understand why not. So he also the surah. So eventually, when Rav Abba came to surah, Amalahu, so he tells them what happened. Hochi Amal Ula v'Hochi Yisvise. Ula said such and such that a person is koina with kinyan chotzer when it's not a chotzer or mishtameres, only if he's standing over there. And I brought a contradiction to him from the story of Rav Gamliel and Rav Yeshua and Rav Akiva. And I don't understand why it's not a question. So one of the other chachamim in surah told Rav Abba, the answer is Rav Gamliel mitaltli agav makalkei yihikna lahem. The answer is it wasn't kinyan chotzer, it was kinyan agav what he did. So the fact is, with kinyan agav, as we learned in kiddushin, you don't need the mitaltman to actually even be present in the karka that you're selling or you're giving or whatever. And once you have once you do a proper kinyan on the karka, then automatically you get the mitaltman that are with it. You don't need a separate kinyan for the mitaltman or anything. In fact, it would work even as we learned in kiddushin, even if they're not present in that chotzer. So that's all it is. Rabbi Yeshua had paid money to Rabbi Gamliel for renting this chotzer, and similarly, Rabbi Akiva had done the same thing. Therefore, they're koina the karka, and agav with it, and agav it, they're koina the mitaltman. Well, the Gemara says, Rav Zeira Kibla, Rav Zeira accepted that's a good, valid answer. So that explains then why Ula wasn't worried about the question, because it's obvious that it wasn't Kinyan Chotzer, but rather Kinyan Agav. Rav Abba Le Kibla, but still Rav Abba didn't accept that as a valid answer. Amar Rava Shaper Ovid Le Kibla. In fact, Rava says in a later generation that it was correct for Rav Abba not to accept that answer. It's not a weak, it's a weak answer. After all, didn't any of them have a sudr that they could do a kinyan chalipin to be koina the meiser that way? Ella, the reason why they didn't do that, because Tovas Hana ain't a moment, because Rav Gamliel doesn't actually own the meiser, because to be able to do a kinyan sudr requires that you have something that you yourself own. Well, and then you can do a kinyan chalipin on it. But the Rav Gamliel, to begin with, does not own these Maiser, the Maiser Rishon and Maiser Oni, because all he has in them is Tovas Hanah. He can decide which Levi or which Aniyim he's going to give it to. And in this case, he chose Rabbi Yeshua to be the Levi and Rabbi Akiva as the Gabbai Tzedakah. But he could have equally well given it to somebody else, but it's only Tovas Hanah. And Tovas Hanah ain't a moment. So ain't a moment, likness me menu b'chalifin. So therefore, it's not considered moment to the extent where you can be koineh from him with chalifin. So what are you telling me that they were able to be koineh with kinyan agav, meaning that they could be koineh the karka? So by the same token, Robert says if he can't be machneh to them b'chalifin, and that's why they didn't even bother with kinyan chalifin. Well, then by the same way, hochanami. Well, then it doesn't work to be Makna Agav Tarka either, because Kinyan Agav Tarka also requires that it's something that you actually own, not just something that you have Tovas Hanah. So therefore, so one way, so it doesn't work. So here, the Hahume Rabbanan's answer involved that was saying they're not pone the Meiser by Kenyan Chotzer, they're pone it by Kenyan Agav, but that doesn't work. For Kenyan Agav, you would, just like Kenyan Chalifin, you would require that they actually own it. So then, in that case, we're still left with the question, how is it that they're able to be pone when they're not standing next to there, and it's not a Chotzer Amishtamex? Because, as we said, either it is in fact in Ram Gamliel's house, like Tosfos said, but it's not Mishtameres because there's no separation between it and the rest of Ram Gamliel's grain, and the people in Ram Gamliel's household could conceivably take it without knowing even. Or as Rabbi Yaakov Emden said, because in fact it is in Ram Gamliel's field rather than in his house. However, the Gemara says, Veloihi. Actually, that's not so. So Rava is comparing and saying, if you can't be makne something with Kenyan Sudr, then you can't be makne Agav Karka either. And the Gemara is now saying that's not actually a valid comparison. The Loihi, it's not so. The difference is matnas kahuna nisinak sibu. The difference is that the matnas kahuna, and in this case also the matnas labia, and then matnas aniyim, are all called, by all of them it says nisina. It says that you have to give them. So therefore that's why you can't do them by chalifin, because chalifin derech mekach memro. Because to give them by chalifin, it's not because you don't own them. It's because since the Torah says you have to give them, then it means you can't sell them. So therefore, so, and if you do kinyan chalifin, then that amounts to selling them, because that's basically what you're doing. You're doing with kinyan chalifin, you're trading the sudr for the object. We're going to talk about kinyan sudr in more detail later in the Masechta, but that's the basic mechanism of it. But metalpman, agav makarka, nisina alimtehi, but to give metalpman together with karka, that's a proper giving, that's a strong giving, so therefore we can in fact use the Ahume and Abaran's answer that it was kinyan agav rather than kinyan chotzer. The difference being, kinyan chotzer would require that it was hefter, and then they're koineh it as a result of it being in their chotzer. But then the question is that it has to be a chotzer mashkameres. If we say that he was makna to them agav karka, so they gave him money for the karka. With that, they were actually koina a piece of karka in Ram Gamliel's house or his field or whatever. And then with that, they're koina the metaltlin wherever those metaltlin are. Then that works, and that would still be considered nisina. Not like Rava is saying that if you can't do one, you can't do the other. You can't do chalifin, but you could do kinyan agav karka. Okay. So all of that is one answer, how to end for then. So all of that provides one answer why it is that in the case, in the story of Ram Gamliel and so forth, they're able to be koneh even when they're not omer b'tzad sadehu, and therefore it doesn't contradict what Ulla had said and the other Chachamim had said earlier on Omer Aleph, that you can't be koneh with kinyan chotzer when it's a chotzer she'enim shtameres, unless you're omer b'tzad sadehu. Rapapa gives a different answer. Das acheres makna oisem shiny. There's a big difference whether there's a das acheres involved. You can say that Ram Gamliel was makna to Rav Yeshua and to Rav Akiva, and they were koine via kinyan chotzer, meaning, in other words, in effect, that Ram Gamliel made the meiser hefker, and then they're koine it by kinyan chotzer. You're going to ask, then how does it work if they're not standing next to the chotzer? The difference is, because in this case, there's a das acheres. So there's Ram Gamliel's das, that's makna to them, and therefore that would work even when it's a chotzer she'enim shtameres. So it's not really, they're not being koine from hefker. Ram Gamliel is being makna them, the metalpman, in the first place, and that would work even if they're not omer b'tzad sadehu. When we say that you need omer b'tzad sadehu, that would be talking about you're finding a metzio, you're finding some whatever, you're finding something of hefker, where therefore there's no das acheres, therefore you need that in order for it to work. And the Gemara says, umenotemra, so where do you see that distinction, where do you see that you can in fact draw that distinction? So, and by the way, the Mordechai makes a point of it here. So what? The fact is, we said before, the Meisers don't actually belong to him. It's only Tovus Hanah. How still is he able to be makning it? What's the difference whether Das Acheres or not? And he says, because the fact is, the Chachamim is makning to them is Chotzer as well. So since by the Chotzer, he does actually own the Chotzer. And there you have Das Acheres. So therefore, he is able to be makna them, the Meisers. So in a certain sense, in other words, it comes out, according to that, there is a little bit of Kenyan Agav involved over here, but primarily we're talking about their koneh by Kenyan Chotzer. The Chotzer actually becomes theirs, and then therefore whatever is in that Chotzer becomes theirs because he was makna them, the Chotzer, with his das, as opposed to in the case of our Mishnah, where you don't have that. So the Gemara says, and we're not Tamra. So where do you get that distinction? And the Shittim Kubetza says why the Gemara needs to bring that point is because, after all, you could argue the other way around. When you're talking about when there's Das Acheres Matna, then you could say the fact is you could make a Kavu Chomi. You could say Madach HaMetzia, where it's Hefter and nobody has it yet, and you have to be open to Sad Tadeu. So Matona, how much more so that you need some kind of Koyach to get it out of his Chazaka, and therefore only if Omer Tzad Tzadeu is going to work. So that's why the Gemara needs Rav Papa to bring a proof that his Svara is the correct one, rather than to say the other way around. So, Ditnan, because we learn in our Mishnah, Rois and Rotzen Achra Metziah Chola. We said that if he sees people running after a Metziah in his field, so for Omer Rav Yirmiyah, Omer Rav Yechanan, now we're going to learn later on, Adaf Yibbez, we'll learn tomorrow, B'ez Hashem, that Rav Yirmiyah says in the name of Rav Yechanan, B'hushe Rotzach Reino Magiyan. That would apply only if he himself is able to run after them and reach them before they get out of the field, which is why, for example, the Mishnah had described the case involving a deer with a broken leg or birds that can't fly, where there he's able to get them before they run out of the field. And Uboi Rav Yirmiyah, and furthermore, Rav Yirmiyah asks the question, having said that din in the name of Rav Yechanan, then he asks the Matona Heach, what would be the din by Matona? Do we say the same kind of thing? That it depends whether he's actually able to physically get it before it runs out of the chutzah. The kibbutz minei Rav Abba Bar Kahana, and Rav Abba Bar Kahana accepted that is a valid distinction. But when it comes to a matana, it doesn't matter whether he can get it in time. Then even if he can't catch them in time, nevertheless the fact that it was in his field when it was given to him as a matana is still enough for it to be considered his, even though now it's out of his field. My timer. Now why would be the distinction? Lav mishum the das acheres machnois and shiny. Evidently, because there's a big difference when there's das acheres. So when it comes to a matona, then there is a das acheres machne. Therefore, we can say that he was koine with kinyan chotzer, even if he doesn't actually physically get it before it leaves his chotzer. But otherwise not. So therefore, that bears out Rav Papa's distinction between das acheres and not. So in the case of Rav Gamliel and the Chachamim, there is das acheres, because Rav Gamliel is the one being machne to them. Therefore, that would work even though they're not sin. But when there's no das acheres, then he needs to A, be standing there, and B, be able to physically reach it before it leaves his field, and that would be the case of our mission. So that would be where the Papa gets that distinction. So the Gemara says, Omelet Rav Shimi, the Rav Papa. However, Rav Shimi says to the Papa, that's not really a proof. How to get the das acheres machnos? What about consider the case of a get where you have a das acheres? Obviously, you have the husband has das and he's giving the get to his wife. The Oma Ula, and yet Ula says that you have the case that we've learned about before, where a husband throws the get to his wife and it lands in her house or in her chutz or whatever. And Ula had said, "V'husha emetes b'tzad beis or b'tzad chatzera." Only if you're standing next to the house or next to the chotzer. And as we learned on Amud Aleph, Tosfos had pointed out that because it's Baal Korcha, therefore it needs to be Betzad Besa. Therefore she needs to be standing next to her house. But nevertheless, at this point, we're assuming that what's the difference? The fact is there's a Das Acheres Machne, and therefore that should be enough, whether she's standing there or not. Why are we requiring that she's actually standing? One answer is shiny get to Issa Baal Korcha. That's exactly the difference. The difference is a get can be given to her Baal Korcha. She doesn't necessarily want to get divorced. Therefore, it's not enough that you have Das Acheres. You also have to have her standing. But Master of Sheshes Breder of Idi, Balav Kavachomer, who Rav Sheshes Breder of Idi asks on that, isn't that a Kavachomer? Uma get to Issa Baal Korcha. You could say the other way around. Madach get, which can be given to her Baal Korcha until Cherem Zaben Gershim, you could give her the get even against her will, and E Emetis Betzad Beso Betzad Chatzera Ein Eloi Loi, and still it works only if she's standing next to the house or next to the chotzer, and if not, then not. Matona Demidaiti like Koshepin, how much more so a Matona where it's not so easy to acquire it, because we need him to agree in order to receive the Matona. Therefore, it should be all the more so that you need a strong kinyan in order to be machne. Somewhat similar to what we were saying before, that the Shittim Kubetzes had pointed out that for a matona, you could argue you need a stronger method of kinyan, and maybe Omer B'tzad Tadehu is not enough, Similarly, we'd say, fine, Omer Vitzad Sadehu was enough, but you do need at least Omer Vitzad Sadehu. And like in the case of a get, rather than to say that when there's a matana involved, because there's das acheres machna, then you should be able to acquire it without actually standing there. The fact is, a matana is not going to be a matana unless you, the recipient, are willing to receive it. So all the more so then, if we're going to say by a get that the woman has to be standing there, how much more so by a matana that you should have to be standing there? Ela Amar Ravashi, so Ravashi says, no, never mind, we're not going to distinguish between Baal Korcha and Midaita. The reason is, the reason why a get is different than anything else is based on what we learned yesterday. We discussed there are two ways in which we can say, on what's the basis on what Kinyan Chatzah works. We discussed that there are two ways of looking at it. We can say that it's Mishum Yad, that since the Torah says V'nosan V'yoda, and as we learned yesterday, Yoda doesn't necessarily mean her hand, it just means in her possession, and her Chatzah is her possession, so it works on the basis of that. Or we said the other way is that it can mean mitzad shlichos, that just like a woman can send a shliach to receive her get, so also she can have her chaser function as her shliach to receive the get. Now, so Rav Ashi is going to say like this: chaser is rabbi mishum yad. When we say that you can, that when we say that a person can be zoicha through a chaser, and therefore that a woman can be zoicha and a get through her chaser, is based on the concept of yad. Is based on, we said, a person can receive a get or a matana or whatever in their hand, then therefore the chaser is an extension of the yad. But yet, the like gora mishlichos, but on the other hand, we also are going to learn to a certain extent that it's not going to, we're going to learn it from shlichos in the sense it's not going to be less than shlichos. We're still going to say, when is a chotzer going to work as a yad? Only under circumstances where it would also, where we can also say that it can be considered like a shliach. Therefore, Rabashi says the distinction is, Gabi get the choivula, a get is normally a choiv, is normally a detriment for her. Now, obviously, there are cases where it's a benefit, you know, where she doesn't like the guy, or where he's about to die, and she'll end up being by Yibum, but ordinarily a get is a detriment to her. So therefore, we have the rule, ein choven la'adam shalei b'fanav. You can't create a choiv for a person without him being present, meaning, in other words, that since if she were to send a shliach under those circumstances, it wouldn't be a valid get. Or I mean, when she consciously sends a shliach, then obviously it will, because she wants to receive the get. But the point is, here, in other words, where here, she didn't actually appoint the shliach as her, she didn't actually appoint the chotzer as her shliach. It's functioning as if it were her shliach, so therefore it's not going to work. It's not going to work unless she actually wants it, and therefore by standing over there, then that demonstrates that she wants it. Because otherwise, in Chavin La'adam, Ela B'fanav, on the other hand, Gabi Matana, when it comes to a present, the S'chus Ulai, where there it's a S'chus for him to receive the present, Zachin La'adam, Shalai B'fanav, then therefore you can give the person a S'chus even when he's not present. So that would be the distinction, says Rav Ashi. So Rashi teaches it out at some length over here at the end of the previous Amud, at the end of Yid Aleph Amud Beis, that it has nothing to do with the get being Baal Korcha or anything. It's rather because if a shliach receives for her a matana, then that would be valid even if she's not standing next to the shliach. So therefore, by a matana, so therefore a chotzer is no worse than that. We would assume that she wants the chotzer to be her shliach, and therefore we can call it a shliach. By a get, choyvula, we may not necessarily assume that she wants the chotzer to be the shliach. So when she's standing next to it, then we don't care whether it's a shliach or not. Then she's standing next to it. That automatically makes it a yad. And the fact is, a yad is koina the get for her, even Baal Korcha. In other words, let's draw the distinction like this, Rashi is saying. What Rashi is explaining what Rav Ashi is saying. When she's standing next to the chotzer, that makes the chotzer her yad. Now, when it comes to her actual yad, it wouldn't matter whether it's midaita or Baal Korcha. Either way, she can be divorced Baal Korcha until Cherem Deben Gershem. How these dinim would be different after that, I don't know, but let's not get into that right now. Anyway, the point is, if she's standing next to the chotzer, then the chotzer functions as a yad. And just like her yad can receive the get Baal Korcha, so the chotzer can receive the get Baal Korcha. But when she's not there, then the chotzer is functioning more as a shliach. So then it requires us to know that she wanted it to be thrown in there, and by a get, since it's a choy hula, then therefore we say that it's neither her yad nor her shliach. As opposed to by matana, As opposed to a matona, we don't say that. And Rashi goes on to say, the fact is, in both of them, we have das acheres machna oisan, both in the case of the get and the case of the matona. You have somebody else giving it to her. But the difference is, again, that even though we learned, we ended up saying before in the Gemara about, in the Gemara about how a chotzer works, that it works mishum yad, in particular by a get, we said everybody ends up agreeing, both Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yechon, and we said ended up agreeing that a chotzer works because of yad, since the pasuk says v'nosan v'yada, then a chotzer is included. Nevertheless, the fact is, if we didn't have those words, we would have learned chotzer from shlichos, and therefore, the only reason why we need to add, why we need to say that it's mishum yad, is in order to cover the case of a ktana, and a pointer of Yechon, and also a cotton, because we said otherwise a ktana has no ability to make a shliach, therefore it needs to be mishum yad. But other than that, a chotzer has to also be able to work on the basis of shlichus. And when it comes to shlichus, ein chavin la'adam, shaloi b'fanav. So therefore, if she's standing there, then good. But if not, then, if she's standing there, then good. Then actually what it means is that now she's made the chotzer into a yad, but otherwise not. When it comes to a matana, again, we don't have all that distinction, and therefore a shliach would be able to be zeichah for him, shaloi b'fanav, and therefore by the chotzer it works the same way. Rashi goes on to say then, by Metzia is a whole different matter, because by Metzia, you're not learning anything from Yad or from Shlifos. So by a Chotzer, you don't have, there's no Das Acheres Machne. So therefore, if he's standing there, then he's Koine because of Kinyan Chotzer, because then it becomes like his Yad. But otherwise, if he's not standing over there, since there's no Das Acheres, then that's not going to work either. So that would be the distinction. That would be the distinction then between the various cases that we're talking about, Metzia, where he has to be standing there, Get, where also she has to be standing there, not because there's not Das Acheres, but because Ein Chav in La'adam Shalai B'fanav, and therefore the Chotzer is not serving as her Shliach, versus by Matana, where neither of those is the case. It's not Ein Chav in La'adam Shalai B'fanav. On the contrary, it's Zoch in La'adam Shalai B'fanav, and there's a Das Acheres Machne, and therefore that's good enough, and she doesn't have to actually be, and the person doesn't actually have to be standing by the Chotzer in order to receive the Matana. So that ends up also answering how it is by Rav Gamliel on the Skenim, how it is that he's able to be machna, the meiser, to them without them being present, because there we're talking about there's a das acheres involved, and therefore he's able to be machna to them even when they're not standing. But by a metzia, they would need to be standing there, and by a get also she would need to be standing there, in each case because of a slightly different thing.